You open us up in prayer, please.
Thank you, Lord Heavenly Father, for today, Lord. We thank you, Lord Heavenly Father, that we can come to your home, Lord Heavenly Father, and just hear your word, Lord, and be fed, Lord. We pray for Ray, Lord Heavenly Father. We pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to guide him, Lord Heavenly Father, for the words that you have for us today, Lord. May we take them, Lord Heavenly Father, and ponder on them, Lord Heavenly Father, and apply them to our lives, Lord. We thank you for all things, Lord Heavenly Father. Let today be a mighty day to you, Lord Heavenly Father, giving you all the glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. They asked me to do this teaching on a Sunday morning. I was more nervous, let's see if I get this right, I was more nervous than a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. Well, that too. And well, the thing is that when Bob had asked, he says, hey, Ray, would you mind doing a teaching on a Sunday morning? And I was in the middle of, Sunday morning service, and I said, sure. And I took about two steps, and I said, wait a minute. Teach about what? He says, Bob, hold on for a second. he did. He got me good. So I says, well, teach about what? You know, is there something specific? And he said, Acts. Acts? What about Acts? Just Acts. Really? But anyways, I said, okay, you know, not a problem. So I prayed on it and talked to my wife and that. So I'm starting going through the book of Acts, and I kept coming back to something a little bit more specific, something that was tugging at my heart. And for some reason, like I said, I just kept reading on Acts and different chapters on Acts and praying on it. And for some reason, I just kept coming back to Acts chapter 3. And on Acts chapter 3, it's when Peter and John are on the way to the temple. And there's a cripple there. Now, the first part of today is that I want to get into is I'm going to touch briefly on the evidence that there was a miracle, God created a miracle, and a person was healed. I am going to touch on that. But that is not going to be the focal point of what I want to talk about, what God put in my heart. And I don't know if you guys noticed what was playing while you guys were eating. Anybody kind of hear what was playing? No? Title's all, it's all about you, Jesus. Okay? And this morning I'm going to touch on that and how everything goes to God, goes to Jesus, to our Father. Okay? So I am going to touch and read a few scriptures on Acts chapter 3. I'm going to go a few verses. But in the middle where I want to get to, and now I'll let you know the point that I want to come to. And the very first thing that I'm going to do is, first of all, I brought two pairs. I'm getting like Fred Sanford, Pastor. Do that. And come out with a pair of reading glasses. Because I just got a new pair, and it's like to help me see better. But, well, I can see better. I can see. I'm going to get into the word here. Acts chapter 3, first verse. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, two things before I get into here. Two things came to my mind. And the first thing is that they were on the way to the temple. Okay? They were on the way to the temple. The second thing is they were on the way to the temple at the time of what? Time of prayer. Now, I know that here on the for the Tuesdays, men's meeting and the women's on Tuesdays, and that we pretty much want to start, the pastors have made a commitment to make sure that that first hour before it starts, whether it be the men's meetings or the women's meetings, okay, is to start it off with what? With prayer. Okay. Prayer is key. And I mean, it dawned on me that before anything happened, before anything was going on, they were going to a place, okay, that a lot of times we give excuses not to go. We go to the temple. They were on the way to the temple. Now, if you remember, this is right after the day of Pentecostal. They were, you know, filled with the Holy Spirit. These two guys were on fire. They were on fire. And a lot of times, we think that we get that little connection with God, you know what I'm saying? We get that plug in, and we feel good for a little bit. And we think that once we feel good, we're good for the rest of the week. We plugged in on Monday, we think we're good for the rest of the week. Tells us these guys, for days, they were all getting together, breaking bread, praying, praising God, worshiping God. It was nonstop. It wasn't that they got filled on Monday and then the rest of the week they're okay. They don't need to plug in again. We need to plug in every single day. I need to plug in every single day because we know that every single day the enemy is out there looking, just waiting for that opportunity, all right, to try and kind of throw you off track, to throw me off track, to throw us off track. And this is a time where it says it was a time of prayer. It wasn't the time of, you know, hanging out. It wasn't the time of the mall. It wasn't the time of the, you know, football game. It was the time of prayer, and that's where they were going. They were going to the right place at the right time. They were going to prayer. Now, that's not the focal point I want to get into, but I want to make that clear that we need to do that. We need to make sure that when the pastors have something that says, you know what, we need to get together and prayer. And I know for the men, when we have the Tuesday services that started up, that's something that's in the Pastor John and Pastor Don's heart. We need to plug in. The men need to plug in into prayer. Prayer is powerful. Okay? Prayer is key, I'm telling you. If we do not pray, if we, you know, if we just go ahead and think that we're just going to do things on our own without connecting to God, without that prayer, it's not going to work. If we try to do it on our own, it's not going to work.
Yeah, you know, something else I like about that, and you're talking about the prayer. That was all preparatory. They had no idea what was about to happen. It's not like God got them up that morning and said, okay, on your way up to the temple, as you go through a certain gate, there's going to be a certain man, and God will work like that at certain times. But it was like a spontaneous reaction that we're going to see here. But the thing was, they were ready for it. And it just speaks to us that you never know what you're going to face one day. You may be on a certain place to prayer. You may be heading somewhere. And next thing you know, boom, you're called to pray. Fred was sharing with me before service. You know, he had to go up and pray for his sister up in Grand Rapids. And it's just funny how when things begin to happen, when you're prayed up, doors begin to open up. And, you know, people say, well, why are you always, you know, Pastor Don, why are you always meeting these people? I say, hey, you know, you just got to be prayed up. You got to be ready because you never know what might come. And the whole context here is that, yeah, they met every day. They were ready for whatever was going to come down the pike. And here you see God works a great miracle through them. It's not like they had a scramble and say, okay, we need to fast or we need to go over into the corner and pray. They were ready immediately for what they're about to face.
Amen. I know we've heard a couple of stories. I know that Bob shared one time when he was on at the hospital minding his own business. All of a sudden he finds himself in the elevator, guns drawn and knives out or something like that. He's okay. And I remember one time that this church, and you know, piggyback off what Pastor Don was saying, that you know, you got to be prayed up. You got to make sure that every single day you plug in. How many of us? I know pretty much almost everybody in here has a cell phone. I know people that carry their chargers with them everywhere they go. They do, right? Because they just want to make sure that, hey, I want to make sure that my phone does not go dead. Oh, yeah, they don't get there early enough so they can make sure they're there for their flight. They get there early enough so they can get that plug. They do, I'm telling you. If you've been to the airport, you see them, they go straight to that plug, okay? Because why? They want to make sure they're plugged in. They make sure their equipment is going to work when they need it, okay? Same thing with us. We got to make sure we're plugged in.
Donna. Speaking about being ready, I went for a foot massage, a foot pedicure the other day, and I was like, man, I'm going to relax because we've had a rough weekend, and yeah, and so I sit back, and the ladies talk, and there's two women there. They're talking about, you know, and you could tell they go to church. So the one woman says, yeah, before Adam and Eve came, we had cavemen, and I'm like, oh, God. She goes, you know, there was more people than just Adam and Eve, and you know, they lived in caves. They were like cavemen, and I'm like, oh, boy. So then the other woman, which I was, you know, like, your spirit feels like, right, attracted to them, and I was like, she was like, yeah, she goes, you know, they were talking about end times, and I'm thinking, there's no end times, you know, in my mind, because, you know, and so I said, yeah, our pastor's getting ready to do a teaching on that, and the one woman that was doing my foot, she was like, yeah, you know, our pastor taught about it, and he said that we're going to have to suffer. And you could tell, like, she was sharing her life with me. She's been through a lot, and she suffered a lot, and a lot of heartbreak. And so, you know, I'm sitting there and praying, and I'm like, God, what do you want me to say? Because I can't go into whole teaching right now. But she's going on. She goes, you know, I can't believe we're going to have to suffer like that. And he said, we're going to have to suffer. And I told her, I said, well, you need to get your, like, I felt the Lord tell me, get books. And get the word out and study. The word says, study to show thyself approved. And so she goes, yeah, I don't know how to do that. I said, well, you know, go to your pastor and he can help you so you can study. We're accountable for what we read and what we believe. And she was like, well, I'm going to do that. And so she looked at me and she goes, what do you think? And she kept saying that. And I'm like, oh, God. And what do you want me to say? And she goes, I just told her, I said, I can tell you, you're not going to have to suffer, that God is the same yesterday, today, and our lives here are going to go, you know, the church is going to go on forever. We're not going to end. I said, so study. You're going to see, if you study, that thing in Scripture already happened. I said, when you read the word, you have to go along with what was happening in the times. And she goes, so I'm not going to have to suffer? I go, no, you're not. I said, but you need to get a Bible out and, you know, start studying it. Just don't read it. You can't just read it. You got to study it. But it's true. If I wasn't prayed up, you know, if I could have said, oh, man, Lord, I've really had a rotten weekend. Yeah, I just want to, and that was my goal. I'm going to relax for an hour. Yeah, but, you know, I was like, Lord, whatever you want, because this woman needs to, you know, hear truth. And it's amazing how pastors are teaching an untruth.
First Thessalonians chapter 5, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 12. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. remember one time I had to, my daughter at the time was visiting another church, and we had just finished our missions trip in Mexico. We came back, and they said, hey, Dad, would you mind kind of sharing at our church, you know, more or less what happened at the missions trip, kind of show us a video and stuff like that, because we're thinking of doing a missions trip and kind of give us some pointers. So I said, you know, sure, no problem. Talk to Pastor Don. I says, you know, they invited me over there, and said, all right, no problem. I said, so I had this plan of this is what I'm going to show. But something kind of just kept, you know, tugging at me, you know, just, you know, keep praying, you know, read your word, you know. So I was doing that, and I got there. And to me, all I was going to do was do a little presentation of what we did at the missions trip in Mexico. So I'm in the front. The pastor says, sit in the front. So I said, okay, so I'm sitting in the front. I got my Bible, and praise and worship is going on, and everybody's, you know, and the Holy Spirit, and everybody's going great, you know. So the pastor gets the microphone, and he starts talking. And he says, I don't want to get into it too much because Brother Ray is going to bring us the word. That better be another Brother Ray in here. So I look at my daughter. She don't want to look at me. She's like, I didn't know, Dad. So I said, you serious? I'm preaching. So the guy's like, says, no, you know, maybe he's saying I'm just going to share, you know. So I said, I didn't hear him right. You know, I'm not preaching. I'm just going to share, you know, about the missions trip. So he grabs, he's talking on the microphone and everything, and he's jumping up and down, right? And he goes, no. You know, I'm not going to say another word because our brother Ray Silva is going to bring us the word today. You want to know about speed reading? I started having to go through some scriptures, but if I wouldn't been prayed up, okay, I guarantee you I would have failed miserably, okay? So I got my head down. And I'm praying. I'm sweating, and I'm praying. I'm like, oh, I hope this is a mistake. I hope it's a mistake. I hope it's a mistake. You know? So finally, he says, all right, Brother Ray, it's all yours. Like, oh, gosh. But anyways, prayed, and, you know, glory to God that God was able to use me. And again, I hadn't done it in Spanish in a long time. So I had to go from Spanish to English, English to Spanish, so I was my own translator, okay? Yeah, you know how it is? Now, the second one of the things I noticed here is that it was, because I know when we do the Bible studies on Thursdays, and again, I encourage you, if you have an opportunity, if you're off work, if you're on vacation or whatever, if you have a chance to be here on Thursdays at 1 o'clock in the afternoon to participate in the Bible study, I encourage you to do that. I don't get a chance to do it all the time, but, you know, my schedule is pretty flexible, so I kind of try and schedule it to where on Thursdays I can be here when I can. But it says here on second part of that verse, that a time of prayer, and it was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I kind of, you know, 3 o'clock. You know? In the middle of the afternoon, how many times can we say that we have made that commitment that in the middle of the afternoon, when most things are going on, especially in the summertime, we're planning for barbecues, we're planning for you know, birthdays, we're planning for all kinds of stuff in the middle of the afternoon. How many times can we say we're just going to stop what we're doing, okay? Because right now it's the time of prayer. It's a time of connecting with God, and we just stop what we're doing to make sure that we get that connection. The same way we plug in our cell phones to make sure that we don't get disconnected, right? Middle of the afternoon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I kind of looked up a few things on the number 3. Holy Trinity. Jesus began his ministry when he was about 30 years old. He was in his ministry for about 3 years. He faced 3 temptations in the desert. That's in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 10. And after 3 days in the tomb, he rose from the dead, resurrected. And I, for some reason, just that number three, I turned 53. My son Sebastian turned 13. My daughter will be 33. I have three kids. Two of my kids have three kids. I started thinking about this. That's a lot of threes. You know? Right? What's that? 3 in the afternoon. And it was, and it's chapter 3. For some reason. What's that? I'll remember that this summer.
We're talking about miracles. It may be a possibility.
Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried into the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. I thought about that. Here's a man that has been crippled pretty much all his life, and somebody has to carry him and bring him to the temple for him to beg. And I thought about that. How many of us at one point in our lives were spiritually crippled? Where our life pretty much at one point didn't mean anything. Spiritually crippled. Ain't going nowhere. Ain't doing anything. Don't know what to do. You have to depend on somebody else. I know at one point in my life I was like that. Spiritually paralyzed. Wasn't going anywhere. My life was just, you know, like giving up. Just like the cripple did. At this point, he's pretty much given up because he says, this is the way I'm going to be for the rest of my life. How many of us, before we gave our lives to the Lord, were spiritually crippled so bad that we had just pretty much given up? Carmen raised her hand. You don't have to if you don't want to, but I know that I was. Spiritually devastated, crippled. Wasn't going anywhere. And I had pretty much given up. I did. I pretty much had given up because of where I was in my walk with God at one point, and then I turned around and walked away. So my thought, the enemy had put in my mind that was pretty much it. That was pretty much doomed for the rest of my life. There was just no way that God in his great love would love me again. And that was my thought for many years of my life. So spiritually, I was crippled. I wasn't going anywhere. This is it. This is for the rest of my life, this is the way it's going to be. I'm just going to work and just go on about life. And, you know, I raise my kids, do the best I can with my kids. And this is it. There was no light at the end of the tunnel, at least for me. And I don't know how many people here at one point in their lives felt that way. There was no light at the end of the tunnel. Now, on my notes here, I got, you know, how many of us were spiritual crippled? But I got something I wanted to ask. And if anybody wants to answer that, you can. If anybody wants to raise their hand and say something about it. And like I said, I was spiritually crippled for many years of my life. For a long time. Long time. Just wasn't going anywhere. I was just there. And God decided that he was going to use somebody the same way God decided he was going to use Peter and John on this particular day to heal a person that pretty much had given up on himself. He had given up the fact that one day he's going to walk, run, play, do whatever it is that everybody else does around him. He had given up the idea that that was going to happen. And pretty much I did too. And then one day, me and my wife were visiting the church, and, you know, I'm thinking nothing's going to happen. It's not going to happen because of what the enemy had put in my mind, that I was going to be crippled spiritually for the rest of my life. I was doomed. Okay? God decided that he was going to go ahead and use somebody in this church to share a word that was going to penetrate my heart, okay, to a point where I was going to realize and accept the fact that what the enemy was telling me was a lie. That God does love me, God will forgive me, and God will bless me. Okay? And so God used Alex. That's the person that God used for me. He put in her heart one day to share from the pulpit, from prison worship team, how God loves you no matter how bad your life was. Some of us here have been worse than others. Okay? But he put in her heart to share word that God loved me no matter how bad my life was. That spiritually I was crippled, but God is a God of mercy and love and power, and he can restore that so that I can start walking again. Okay? And he shared that, and I'm trying to bite my teeth because, you know, it's just this manly thing that men don't cry, okay? And I'm sitting there, and I got my wife sitting to my left, and she's like, I'm not going to cry. Yeah, that's going to work. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to cry. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to cry. And then at the same time, why am I crying? I went from I'm not going to cry to why am I crying? That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit using Alex to tell a person in church that had been crippled for the most of his life to let him know that, you know what, from this day forward, you're not going to be crippled anymore. Okay? And I'm just bawling, and I can feel the Holy Spirit tugging at me, and I knew what it was, and I didn't want to accept it. But the harder I tried to fight it, you ain't going to fight the Holy Spirit. Good luck. Okay? The harder I tried to fight that, the more I kept weeping. I knew what it was. I knew exactly what it was. It's the Holy Spirit tugging at my heart because for most of my life I was crippled. And God said, you know what? As of today, you're going to start walking again, spiritually speaking. And I started crying, and I'm crying. And then Pastor John, I believe, was doing a service, and after the service, he said, you know, if there's anybody here, and you know that once in a while they'll do a calling, but something was tugging at the pastors, and that day said, you know what, we need to do a calling. And he said, you know, if anybody here wants to, you know, give their life, you know, come forward. And I'm like, I'm not going up there. I was too embarrassed because, you know, to me, and that's what the enemy does, you know, I'm thinking that everybody is watching me. There he goes. That's him. That's the guy. Ushers, that's the guy. You know, that all the eyes are on me. You know? So I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to go up there and pray. And God always has a way of doing things. So then he turns around and says, but if you don't want to come up here, where you're at is okay. Just raise your hands, close your eyes, and we'll do the sinner's prayer. And on that day, I decided to do the sinner's prayer and rededicated my life to God and no longer was crippled as I was crippled spiritually for a long time. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him and did John. Then Peter said, look at us. I got it here in my notes. That God wants our undivided attention. They said, look at us. It wasn't because of who they were. It had nothing to do with it. They wanted his undivided attention. God wants our undivided attention. When we come to church on Sunday mornings or any other day we come to church, our sole purpose, my sole purpose, should be only one thing. It's all about him. Today it's about him. I love you guys, and I don't mind the fellowship. But you know what? That's not what I come here for. That shouldn't be the reason why we come here for. The reason why we come here for is because of him. This whole title, it's all about Jesus. Peter and John were men that God are about to use to give God the glory. It wasn't about them. Because it's not about us. It's not about what Ray can or cannot do. It's what God can do using Ray, using Roger. Some of us think that God won't use us. I know that Beth and Roger were here one time for Bible release. And I know that Roger and Beth have their story, and maybe they've shared it with a few of you guys. I won't share everything. But something's been bugging them, and something was in their heart, and they didn't want to share it. But that day they came to the Bible release, and they decided to share a story about their son. And at the end, it was a young girl, I believe it was, if I'm not mistaken, that came up to them and thanked them. Because who knows if that day, that young girl was thinking of doing something that was going to impact her life. Commit suicide. And because God wanted to use Roger and Beth that day, that girl probably didn't do that. And God will use us, even though sometimes we think that he won't. But if you have to be like Peter and John, you got to be prepared. You got to be prayed up, studied up, connected up, so that God can go ahead and use us in a powerful way. God still does miracles. He still wants to use us to do that. It wasn't just the Old Testament. I know stories. I've seen things that God has healed people. God used me one time, and it wasn't. And it's not about me. This is about Jesus. Understand that. But I was young, and God decided that one day he wanted to use me so that some teenagers that were around thought it was a joke. They can see how powerful God really is. I prayed for this young girl that was sitting, laying there, and couldn't move her knee, and she was crying, and her knee was about this big around. And Esther and Roger know how that is. Big old knee. So, prayed for this young girl, and God healed her. Ray didn't do anything, absolutely anything I can do. This is all about God's will. This is all about the power of God. This is about being ready, prayed up, studied up, connected up, so that when one day God says, you know what, I need to use you. I need to use you. God's going to use you. When and where, we don't know. How, we don't know. Who, we don't know. God knows everything. Now it says that he wanted their undivided attention. God wants our undivided attention. Because it's about him. What we have and what we are, it's about him. Everything I have is because he gave it to me. Not because I worked hard and earned it. It's because of what God has given me. He's given me this body. He has given me the strength. He gave me my job so that I can do the things that God wants me to do. Because it's all about him. This is all always about Jesus. Everything we do, we give it to the Father. Everything that Jesus did, he gave it to his Father. Always. Okay? Then he said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, of Jesus of Nazareth, walk. Taking him up by the hand, by the right hand, he helped him up. And I got out here on my notes. He didn't say, I got this. No, he didn't. He didn't say, I got this. What he said was, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. All the glory goes to our Father. Physically themselves, they can't do anything. When I pray for that young girl, I had no powers. Especially at the age of about 14. when you think you have all the power. Right? Those that are parents know what I'm talking about. You got teenagers, right? 14, we think, yeah, I got this. I know it all. John 6:38. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. This is Jesus. It's not about him. He didn't take the credit. Peter and John didn't take the credit. A lot of times we do things for other people in church or for people out there, and we want to take the credit for it. It was because of me this happened. It was because of me that he or she's in church. It's because of me that that's going on. No, it's not. You got nothing to do with it. You think you do. It's all about our Father. It's about him doing what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, and how he wants to do it. Now, he can use you or me, or he can use somebody else. Okay? They didn't take the credit. A lot of times we want to take credit for what God does, like we can. It's about our Father. It's about what he does. This is all about him. We have no powers. There's nothing we can do. God has all the power, all the will. Everything is about what he can do and when he wants to do it. But a lot of times we have this ego. Sometimes, you know, holier than thou, that because of me, this is why this is going on. I had a person one time that said that it was because of him, I'm in church. Let them keep thinking that. I let them keep thinking that. I know that it was because of God. I give him all the glory and all the honor because of him. Like I said before, I wasn't spiritually crippled like I was for many years. God put me in a position where I never thought I'd be up here teaching. Last thing from my mind, 15, 20 years ago. That I'll be on a praise and worship team. I love music. I love to play. They never thought I'd be on a church, being on a praise and worship team. But it's not because of me. It's because of my Father. Because of his love, his mercy, his understanding. To say, you know what? He's not going to be crippled no more. You're not going to be crippled no more, Ray. Spiritually, you're going to walk. And not only walk, you're going to run. Because that's how good our God is. Not only are you going to walk, you're going to run. Philippians chapter 2. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you look not only at your own interests, but also on the interests of others. Anything and everything that we do, we want to make sure we do it for God. If we help somebody, if we give something to somebody in the church or whatever it is, I don't know, I never want to think or even have the thought or process to say that it was because of me that this is why this is happening. It's not. I need to get off my high horse and realize that I had nothing to do with it. This is God's will. This is my Father's will. And the sooner I start realizing that everything that's going on is because of my Father, the better off I will be. The better off we'll all be. Recognizing that our Father, he's the one that has that does everything. Peter and John went ahead and prayed. And I'll finish up with this part right here. He says, what I do not have, but I have, I will give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him up by the right hand and helped him up. Instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Give God all the glory and all the honor. When anything happens, and I know Roger shared this the other day when he said that about his doctor. Oh, you know, I got a great doctor. And found out that Joe Cuvier has been praying for him all this time. Roger called Joe and says, Joe, all this time I thought it was a doctor. Prayer, like I started off. Prayer. Yeah, somebody that was praying for him, as we all have people that pray for us, and we pray for somebody else so that God can do his will and do whatever he wants to do for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Next week, I'll come back with the second part of this. And again, it's all about giving God all the honor and all the glory. He's the one that does everything. Amen? All right. Eddie, can you please close us?
Did you just go, uh-huh? All right. Hallelujah. Father, Lord God, we just thank you for this word this morning, Lord God. And Father, we pray, Lord God, that this word would just touch our hearts and our souls and our minds, Lord God. Father, that we would apply this word to our daily lives and with others, Lord. We ask that you would just bless the worship, bless the word today, Father, in our fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.